Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Believe it or not, this is a record, an LP. Which we all know what that stands for, right? Long playing, 33 and a third. And if you had a scratch across that record, you know what happens when you play that? It'll stick, which means a portion of it will just continue to play over and over and over again, which CDs don't do that. They might skip, but, you know, today's generation is missing out on this wonderful experience of a record sticking, and when you have to go and kind of nudge the arm to make it continue on. The reason I bring that up is that this is what I'm feeling like, a record that is stuck. Because I find I keep saying the same things over again. But I think that there's a reason for it, because I'm just thinking about what's going on in the world today, and I'm glad we're in the passage where we are in Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God, because I think that what we're dealing with, and the passage we're looking at, I think there's a twofold way of looking at it. One is we're being prepared for that final day, when he returns, and we're going to be ready. But I also think in the context that something is going on right now. This applies to us as believers now and the world in which we live. And I think the things that the shooting that happened yesterday, it's leading up to a place where we're going to be the ones in the hot seat. We're going to be the ones going out to the restaurant, and the mob is going to come and accost us because of our beliefs. And it's going to go beyond politics. It's going to go to beliefs, because it comes right down to it. You think all of the religions in the world, all of the different groups of believers, and they all have different beliefs, and the idea out there is we should just have our arms open and be tolerant of each other and accept one another and, you know, have peace. And the thing I keep thinking is, okay, if that's the case, if everybody's all right with that and that everyone has a little piece of the truth, then we don't know what is true. We don't know if what we're doing is correct, if what this group over here is doing is correct. And it forces a decision to be made upon us. Which something that I've been thinking about that we need probably to do and do very soon is, and the title will be "Let the Controversy Begin." That I've been hesitant to speak out when I think that something needs to be said, for fear of, well, someone's going to think you're really strange. And I made this statement earlier today that the King James issue is issue number one. Because the door has been opened to so many other types of Bibles and translations, and it's not a translation issue at all. Some people want to argue with us and make it that way and say, well, you know, this is not the way we talk. That's not the issue here. The issue is what is being translated. And it just might be time for us to say, all right, we're only going to hold to the King James Bible. That's where the Word of God is. The others, we don't know. Too many questions. too many questions about it. And any of the things that we believe, if we believe that they are backed up by the Scripture, then somehow we need to be standing up and saying, this is what the Scripture says. Yes, we can be tolerant. We can be tolerant of all these other groups. But we also still have to acknowledge this is what the Scripture says. And in talking about this, the armor that we have, we've talked about from Ephesians chapter 6, what we've been given as armor, that he first started in verse 11 to put on the whole armor. Armor has been provided, and armor is something given to us as a defensive weapon to protect us. And then he starts listing the armor in verse 13, where he says to take the whole armor. And then verse 14, he starts, the first one is truth. The next one is righteousness. And the next one is that gospel of peace. And that the first ones, that the breastplate and having our loins girt about, this is something we're standing. We're standing still. But when he starts talking about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, now we're going to start moving. And that's what we continue on with today. The next part of the armor is involving moving, not just standing still. So we're going to talk about what's most important. We're going to talk about putting out the fire. And then the direct attack that will come at us. In chapter 6, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The next item in the armor is faith, and he calls it a shield. Now we're going to talk about faith last, because I want to talk about some of these other words. And as I have said, remember the stuck record, as I get older, I think about these words and I think, we need to look at the words. We need to understand some of the meanings of the words, because if we say we're holding to King James, then there's a reason for that. And one of the reasons is the words that are used have meaning. And I'm hearing this in the news a lot lately, that, well, words have meaning. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I want to look at these words. So to starting with verse 16, above all. If he says above all, that right away tells me that that's something that signals something to me, that, hey, what he's about to say is going to be the most important thing to say. Above all, you can do all those other things. And back, he said, having done all, in verse 13, having done all, to stand. But now as we're standing, above all, there's something we've got to do. And he says, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking. Reach out, grab it, hold on to it. Again, there's the choice involved. It can be there, but I must reach out and take it. So above all, taking that shield of faith. And this word shield, here's the first place it occurs. The book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's the first occurrence of the word shield, and God uses it to describe himself when he's speaking to Abraham. He says, I am thy shield. I'm the one that is protecting you. And I think that this is all significant because now it's movable. If I have a shield, I'm going to look, and we're going to talk about these fiery darts in a moment. The fiery darts are going to be coming at me, and I'm going to move that shield to intercept those darts. That's what I should be doing. And I think this is sometimes why we might fall into discouragement or even depression, because we have the shield, but the darts are coming from over here, and we're not moving that shield in the right position. So I think it's movable. And he says about it, taking the shield of faith, and again, we'll talk about faith last of all, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Again, some good words here, starting with quench. We're going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Here's the first place this word occurs. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 7. Second Samuel 14, verse 7. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him, for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also. And so they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. Now there, when it says quench my coal, it's kind of like a figure of speech, because speaking of the destruction they're going to do so that there are no descendants. But to quench my coal is to put it out. The coal would represent a coal of fire, something heated. Here we're talking about descendants. We're going to destroy it. There'll be no more to quench. In Psalm 104, Psalm 104, verse 11, Psalm 104, 11, they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. So there's another use of the word, and a word that's a phrase that we will hear, quench your thirst. Something that you drink will quench your thirst. It means you're not going to be thirsty anymore. It's going to take care of it. It's going to end the thirst. Quench thirst. A book that we don't look at very often, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Many waters cannot quench love. It can't make it go away. Can't cover it up. Can't stop it. Jeremiah chapter 21. We're just looking at a few of the references using this word quench. Jeremiah 21, verse 12. Jeremiah 21:12. O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Fire that's not going to be quenched can't be put out. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. And this was always a verse that's a favorite of Pentecostals, because they'd say, well, don't quench the Spirit. Because the next verse says, despise not prophesying. Well, I think this was written at a time when they were still receiving some of God's messages in that fashion. And so he's saying here, quench not the Spirit. Don't stop it. Don't put out that fire. And speaking of fire, you're going to take that shield of faith. You're going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You're going to be able to put these things out. Now, this word fiery in this verse is the only place that Paul uses the word fiery. The only place. It first occurs back in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 6. First place, find the word fiery. Numbers 21, 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Fiery serpents. You know, you wonder, what did they look like? And the way that they stopped this plague was, that's when Moses made the fiery serpent on a pole, and anyone who had been bitten was to look at it and they would be healed. But that's the first occurrence of the word fiery. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. Daniel 3, 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Of course, that's a word that is repeated, the fiery furnace, in this story. Because we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down and worship that image of Nebuchadnezzar. And so they're thrown into the fiery furnace. So I think that that is a picture of the fiery darts. They hurt. They are hot. And we have this shield to protect us. These fiery darts are being thrown at us. This word, the word darts, in fact, there are only four references in the scripture for that word darts. Now, when I hear the word darts, I think of the dartboard and the little, you know, darts you throw at the dartboard. And this is not what it's talking about. It can't be. And let me show you why. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, this is the first occurrence. Second Samuel 18:14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Absalom has been caught in this tree by his hair. Now, if these darts were the darts that I'm thinking of, he's not going to take three darts and thrust him through in his heart. They have to be something serious, these darts, that you could take and thrust them through. Because you're throwing a dartboard, the little sharp, it's not very long. You're going to thrust someone through with that. Oh, you could, but it's quite an effort. This must be really serious, I think. In Chronicles 32, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 5, Second Chronicles 32:5. So he strengthened himself and built a wall that was, and raised up to the tower another wall with, and repaired Milo to David and made darts and shields. And abundance. The word shields, the form of this word, there with darts. But again, they're just little things. These darts have their. And in fact, when it's talking about our armor, if we're going to shield the stop fiery dart, it's got to be something serious. Something serious being thrown at us. And I think that that's, I think the point, the other is Job, chapter 1, verse 20, and then Ephesians. Those are that the occur. But I think as we have been doing, when you go to first occurrence, look at how it's used, it tells you somewhat to be some theories. And this has been this shield to this fiery dart. It says it darts a wit. I think that Christ ascended into heaven. Was on earth. And I don't think that his tactic is on earth anymore. And I think his main tactic is that doctrinal. And I think if around in the beginning, you look around at all meeting to even today, this very day, and things being preached, you have the doctrine itself is that. And I kind of that as our fiery darts that are being thrown people down. And he says, we have this shield of faith to protect. And I have, why shield of faith? Because faith is a word that in itself is controversial. Because faith is used a lot of times to describe a lot of different things. We exercise faith all the time. You come in here and you exercise faith by sitting down on the pews. And the reason it's exercising faith is you believe it's going to hold you up. And they do. But it's an exercise of faith. Everything that we do is an exercise of faith. Did you know that in the Old Testament, there are only two occurrences of the word faith? Only twice. The one that Paul quotes from Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith, in Habakkuk chapter 2. But here's the first one. In the book of Deuteronomy, and maybe you didn't think it was in a book like Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20. Deuteronomy 32:20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Description, what God is saying of these people, children in whom is no faith. So he says, I'm going to watch and see what happens. And certainly, they were a nation that had all of God's laws. God had done miraculous things for them. And they could always know if they were in the will of God because everything would cooperate for them if they were obedient to the laws of God. Their crops, everything would work out fine. If something was wrong, they knew we messed up somewhere. And God's description of them here is children in whom is no faith. Now here's the definition of faith. And if you go to the 1828 dictionary, you'll find listings of just all kinds of statements about faith. But here are the ones that I think apply. The ascent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. I thought that was a good definition of faith. Your mind just accepting the fact this is what God has revealed. The other thing, that emotion of the mind, which is called trust or confidence, exercised towards the moral character of God. I'm trusting in Him. I have confidence in God as it has been revealed in the book. This is why I think the faith is important. Because this is all I have. And my faith has to be here. Now, someone might say, well, that person over there, they're a person of faith. Fine. What is that faith in? Is faith in remember we talked about the different options we have as far as believing the universe and everything in it. Is the faith in the man upstairs, a higher power? Is that a faith that saves according to what the Scripture says? That is not a faith that saves. That's not a specific faith, but yet we can look at someone and say, oh, they're a marvelous person of faith. Well, they have faith. Well, they might have faith, but it's got to be placed in the right object. In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, look at some things about faith. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. See, even to look back at the Jewish nation in time past, and we look at that relationship that they had with God and the laws that they were given, and we look at those laws and their obedience to those laws, and we think this was their justification, and the examples given of Abraham and then of David, we know, nope, that's not what justified them. Their faith justified them. Just as we are justified. It's by faith. Yes, they had those laws they had to keep. They had to follow the sacrificial laws and everything, but there had to be faith. Or it was meaningless. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, which is where everyone always runs when they want to talk about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We have to have faith coming to God. And it's by faith that we make that choice. I'm going to believe what He said. I'm going to trust in that. I'm going to place my confidence there. And that's how we please God. That is what brings salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I can't see these things. I can't. The Scripture says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. I can't see those things. But I know that they exist. I know that it is real because I walk by faith, not by sight. And I was looking at the context of that verse in this chapter. And remember how we talked about the difference between wherefore and therefore? Now I want you to watch this. Look at, we'll start with verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And still, it continues on through this chapter with the wherefore and therefore. And you can see it going back and forth. Wherefore, pointing back to what has happened, what has been said. Therefore, based upon what has been said, what happened, this is what the future holds. Wherefore, takes us to the past. Therefore, takes that and goes on to the future. And I like that. But it's an important thing to remember. We walk by faith, not by sight. I can't see it. So everything in this book, I have to accept by faith. What it says, I make the choice, and I say, I believe that, I accept it by faith. Can't see it. That's why the person that says, well, I will believe in God when someone shows me some proof. Prove to me that God is real, then I'll believe. Sorry, can't do it. We accept it by faith, but then faith has to, you know, there has to be an object for your faith, and that's this book. We have to believe it. And so to say, well, my faith is in this book, then that implies certain things. That implies that then this book is the objective standard of what I need to believe, that God has given me everything I need to know. And if this isn't it, if someone says, well, you know, there are certain errors there, and there are all these other revelations, well, then God certainly has a problem somehow. And for some reason, he didn't think it necessary to leave us a clear revelation of himself and what we should do and what salvation is all about. I think that's a problem for me. So there are some real implications that come as a result of saying, well, I have faith in this book. And there's another phrase with faith, and I think it's this, the faith. That when we talk about scriptures, that's what we're talking about when we say the faith. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, 7. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I think that's what he's referring to. I haven't strayed from the book. I haven't looked for other revelations. I haven't, you know, looked anywhere else. I have kept the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I do believe that he is speaking of what's going to happen to the body of Christ. And we look at this and say, well, you know, the latter times, I think the latter times are yet future. But I think we're starting to see maybe some of this starting. When he says that some shall depart from the faith. The departure from the scriptures to me is just very, very evident out there. They do not want the scriptures. They don't want to be tied in. And many don't like the word doctrine. They don't want doctrinal differences to divide us. We want to be all together. Well, you know what? As I said earlier, we can be tolerant. We can accept people. And I feel like we do. We accept them. But there are implications that are made when we start talking about this book. And I don't think God made any mistakes. And I don't think God is confused about the issue. And if I say I believe this book, then it implies certain things. And I think that's why he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, because all these things are going to come at you. These fiery darts are going to come at you. Remember we talked about the tactic of Satan, yea, hath God said? that he still is asking that question. That's what all of the other versions of the Bible, that's what they all are asking. Did God really say that? I think he said this. And so the person who's reading these versions is left with the task of trying to decide, is that what God said? Is that what he meant? Is that really in the Scripture? And we're back to that question that the serpent asked Eve. Yea, hath God said? Did he really say that? Those fiery darts constantly out there, and I have to take that shield of faith and I have to say, I believe this is what the Word says. This is what the Scripture says. This is what God has revealed, and I'm going to hold fast to that. So that's the most important thing to do. The fire, those fiery darts can be hot, but he has given us protection. That shield of faith is part of that armor. So we'll continue on next time in the next part of the armor that we've been given. Let's pray.